Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned and dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Leading the Way, and I'm delighted to introduce our guest today and our leading lady, who's Jessica Word. She's the president of Word & Brown General Agency, and, you know, we're going to be talking today about that proverbial remote workforce, you know, proverbial, right? Do you like that, Jessica? Say hello to our listeners, and we're going to talk about the proverbial elephant in the room. What do you think of that?
I think that's great. Hello. Hello, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you, Michelle, for hosting such an amazing show and doing what you do. Absolutely. Thank
you.
Well,
I love it because we're having you back for round two, which I'm excited because, you know, I don't get the chance many times with some of our guests and our leading ladies to kind of go a little deeper about their leadership experiences, their viewpoints, and also, you know, just what's trending, you know, by leading and managing an organization like you are. And I know, you know, last time we didn't get to spend a ton of time talking about you and, you know, your role at Word & Brown and just, you know, what's a day in the life of Jessica Word, I think is what I'd love for you to share as president of the organization. But can you just, for our listeners, hit a few highlights of what is a day in the life of what you do? Is there any normal day, I guess, is the question, maybe. Maybe that's a good way to start.
No, you know, every day is very, very different and very exciting, with exciting opportunities, which some people may call challenges, but we just shift our focus and change the word. They're called opportunities, and it's always changing. It truly is. There's a lot of different things we have to continue to address, especially at the beginning of the year right now. So it's hard to summarize what my days are like, but I can, you know, talk about days as of recent, which is, you know, the year's obviously it's a brand new year and many contracts become renewed during this time, you know, and so it's budgets are being done, annual reviews are being done. And so it's like drinking through a fire hose, pretty much, pretty intense.
Yes.
But I'm blessed to be in this current role as a president, Word & Brown.
I love you. Thank you for the visual of drinking out of a fire hose. I think we've all been there in some cases. But, you know, I know last time when we had you on the show, and that's why I get excited when I get a round two or a three, you know, with a guest, is that, you know, last time we were talking about how you and your leadership and how you pivoted and shifted and, you know, went from really brick and mortar employees in the work environment, right, in the office, to literally overnight and as quickly as you could into a remote environment. You know, now it's like we're interacting with companies and, you know, having them say that it's like the remote workforce is here to stay. And I'm just curious for, you know, where Word & Brown is and how all of you are looking at it, especially you leading the company. What's kind of your thing about, is the remote workforce here to stay for Word & Brown, or what does it look like for you as we get through COVID and even after, you know, when the vaccine is, let's say, you know, in control a little better?
This is everyone's focus right now, of course, and work from home guidelines are being established right now within my company and organization. And it's exciting to do this because this is a conversation that never, ever would have come up before, right?
In a company
with, you know, the old school mentality, be there in the trenches with your team, which is amazing when you can, but now we're in a world where we can't, and we're still getting incredible productivity from the team and working together, you know, even with our carrier partners and our brokers, and everyone's just kind of shifted, which you have to be able to adapt, you know, if you're not changing, you're not evolving. So it's always an ongoing process, but it happened rather quickly, hence drinking through a fire hose statement for many. And so we are looking at permanent work from home guidelines. You know, right now it's a volunteer basis. Those who are comfortable to come back, it's fine. We just, you know, make sure that if there's only multiple people in the office, that they're spaced out correctly. But for the general agency, most people are continuing to work from home successfully. And it's really neat to hear the stories from the staff, because there's people that have been on the road for 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and they don't get home to have dinner with their family, make dinner for their family, you know, especially being a woman.
Right.
And the demands that are put on, you know, women and men as well. But, you know, my experience, demands put on me to want to be a provider at home of the love and the cooking and just being present, right? That it's hard to do. And so there's been a lot of wonderful feedback. You know, everyone's just really happy to be at home and appreciative of through all of the chaos and the sadness that's happening in the pandemic, that people are really grateful that they have the opportunity to be with their family right now. And we're seeing their increased productivity. In fact, this woman that I work with in marketing, she said, I think people are working so hard and good from home, so they don't ever have to come back. And that being said, I think that's hilarious. It's probably true for some, but then some want to come back. But we are looking at when the pandemic ends, everyone gets vaccinated, to have permanent work from home guidelines. And so we're still defining what that looks like, but still giving people the freedom to continue to work from home, depending on the department and whatnot and the division that you're in. And that's just the part that is becoming, it's a really sensitive area, because you want to make it fair for everybody. You don't want to create any divides of, well, why does this department and not? And so I think a lot of companies are probably faced with the challenge of creating any disparity as it relates to that, but then maintaining your culture as well, which is a whole other topic. It's hard to maintain your culture when you can't be in person.
I think there's been so much conversation now with, you know, leaders who are just saying, gosh, you know, how are we going to handle this hybrid, you know, workforce, meaning some stay home, some are in the office, you know, how does, like, I mean, this is maybe more HR, but I'm just curious for you as a leader, you know, when you get people that have, you know, just they're happy being at home, it's like they're more productive that way versus those that aren't. How does a team, you know, work well in that when some are at the office and some are, you know, in the remote setting? How does that work? I mean, how do you bond? How do you keep people, you know, are there anything that you, any of you have done at Word and Brown to kind of like incentivize people or motivate them to really build rapport in a, you know, in a remote environment? Like I think of birthday celebrations or anniversaries, you know, those kinds of things that you would do around, you know, the break room or the water cooler. Those days are gone, right, in the remote world. Or what are some things that you've seen that people have done?
Right. No. And so within Word and Brown family of companies, our co-founders, John Word and Rusty Brown, they've been incredible. Since 1985, they've been hosting a birthday party every year, you know. And so then it became, or every month, I should say, because the staff started, you know, you can count on one hand. And now obviously that's not possible with 600 plus staff. But every month we have a birthday celebration in which, you know, the partners and whoever birthday it was that month, you come in and we feed you and have fun and share fun stories. And, you know, and then we have work anniversaries. We have a quarterly employee meeting that was always in person on the rooftop. And then we would actually like fly our staff down from our different regional offices, to accept their anniversary gift. And we celebrate for 3 months, a year, and every year after that, they get a special gift. And so now we've actually done
that
virtual. Yeah, so now we've taken that virtual, and it's been wonderful. And aside from the birthdays and anniversaries, we've done a lot of fun team building activities virtually. Maybe I mentioned this last time, I'm not sure. But, you know, I've personally had each of my departments, we've set up for lunch with myself, and we play a fun game of categories. And I would send them, you know, a $25 gift card to Grubhub and whatnot. And so, you know, feed them lunch and just hang out and have some fun. Of course, it's not lunch because it's a meeting, right? And so you can't mandate their lunch hour.
Right.
And then we're into a whole different world of issues.
And just
but,
so
you,
you
know,
did,
you did time.
So I was going to say, you did not bring this up last time, and I love Scattergories, and that's really super fun. So what a neat, it's funny how cheesy games have all of a sudden become useful, right? I mean, that's great.
Well, I know it's really fun. And we open it with an icebreaker, and you know, my amazing Missy and Polly from marketing, they sent me this great icebreaker list, and it's like some of the greatest questions ever, because then this is the part I love. There's some staff that I never would have got to meet you know, that are either in regional offices or never had the conversation to have a fun question to ask them, and to have the time mm-hmm. to have the time to listen to their feedback. And so I was asking this, one of my favorite questions to ask, if the group isn't too big enough, I could ask a fun question. And then my favorite question was, the first one was like, if you had all the money in the world, what would you be doing instead of this job? And it was just fascinating to learn about all the amazing things that they wanted to do, you know, just to give back to the community, their passions and whatnot. And so it was a lot of fun. It's a way to get to meet the staff in an intimate way that I never would have had to, even before COVID. And so there's been some really great opportunities. And so that's what we've been doing. And then, you know, each department kind of does their own virtual fun activities and whatnot. There's been happy hours. There's been, you know, it's not always necessarily like a happy hour, but, you know, it's just an after work event, show up and have some fun virtually. And mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun. You know, we work hard, but we play hard too. So, and that's trying to keep the balance.
Those are great.
Remind us that we're human. Yeah. Thank you.
We all are
they
human.
Worked out
and
great,
right.
Great for us, you know.
Well, you know, this is, it's funny because this was another kind of like conversation that came up, and I thought, oh man, this is perfect for you, is, you know, how casual the, you know, the attire has gotten because of, you know, being remote in a work setting, right? Where it's like people are showing up a little differently on Zoom. You know, I mean, before when you go into the office, it was like, you know, all gussied up. It's like, you know, got the professional attire on. How has that been, I guess, for all of you? It's like, do you find that things have just gotten even more casual? And, you know, has that made any difference in how people are showing up? Or is that something that all of you have had to address? What's that been like? Because
yeah.
I know there's been some talk in companies where, ooh, we need to kind of have a conversation about even what's, you know, remote casual, let's say. It's, people have gotten a little too casual in certain settings. How have you guys dealt with that?
Well, that sounds like a good story that hasn't happened here.
Oh, good.
Too
okay,
casual.
Good. Well,
yeah, no, not much. I mean, I'm imagining something extreme on the too casual, but I'm not going to go there on this radio. So.
No, those are the urban stories that are out there, right? We don't want that.
Right. No, and so that's a great question, and it has come up, you know, and it's fascinating because these are the people that you would see in person, and now it's interesting how, you know, people get really comfortable. And so it's kind of just setting defining the agreements up front. You know, what are we going to agree is basic minimum. And so no one's ever had to have the conversation like, you know, you have to be in a collared shirt or whatnot. But it has, people wouldn't have their video on, especially when we're dealing with external customers or partners or whatnot. It's like, okay, so we've had to put out some guidelines and say, okay, look, if it's an external, you know, make sure your video has to be on, but make sure you're dressed appropriately. And if it's internal, I think many of us, it's safe to say we're so tired of the camera, right? And just mm-hmm. the pressure and whatnot. And so now we've actually created like an SOP to include in the subject line, or it should, or in the body of the meeting invite, you know, video not required. Just so people to set that agreement up front, so nobody goes in and gets disappointed or frustrated or confused. And so just being able to set the guidelines and communicating ahead of time has done wonders. And so if that doesn't happen up front, which it didn't happen for us, can't imagine anyone's that organized. If you are, bless your heart. When this all happened, it's a pandemic. We're just trying to make sure we can work from home, let alone what are we going to look like when they talk to people. But, and learning, you know, it was important to have that conversation. So, yeah, that has come up and it's been addressed and it's worked out wonderfully. But, you know, I'm having, it's never really been too big of an issue. So.
Right. Oh, that's great. We're going to take just a quick sponsor break here. And when I come back, I want to ask you more about, you know, so many people, and, you know, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, but what I'm going to ask you is going to be more of you as a mom and as, you know, the president of an organization and juggling the whole family being at home. I know some of the conversations we've had with women have been, this juggling of the kids knocking on the door and, you know, interrupting my meetings and, you know, just, and then the schoolwork going on. It's just that juggling match. And, you know, we're almost a year into where all this stuff happened. It's like we've become very weary of it, but I'm curious how you and, you know, what you've seen with some of your female employees and how they're dealing with the kids and everything. So give me a quick minute. I want to just say a hearty thank you. But Women Lead Radio is brought to you today today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. Our mission at Microsoft is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. We believe technology at Microsoft is a powerful force for good and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. We believe technology can and should be a force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. So thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all of our sponsors and partners, like Word and Brown. So Jessica, thank you as well for being an incredible sponsor and partner to Connected Women of Influence. So let's talk about you and, you know, what is your take on women managing and leading through kids and school? And I know we talked briefly on it before, but, you know, this is almost a year now. And it's like, is this the new normal? And then do you find a lot of women are wanting to stay in the remote environment, or are they ready as soon as, you know, the doors open and they can, they're going to want to come back to the brick and mortar facility? What's kind of your take on your workforce and how you're handling that with some of the feedback?
Thank you. A lot of the feedback that I'm getting within my workforce, within the general agency, is that They're really happy. And yes, they miss getting together as a big group, but they're enjoying it. But at the same time, it's wonderful to be home with their family, but they're ready to get out. You know, everyone's pulling their hair out at this point. They're frustrated, you know, on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's truly been a blessing for many people. And that's not for everybody, obviously. But the feedback I'm hearing is that they're grateful for the opportunity, but then they're like, okay, but can we do a happy hour or something fun? You know, like they still need to take care of whatever they want to take care of. They still need a break, you know, which is the best way. You have to treat yourself
right.
Like somebody, you know, like we treat people that we love the most. Why don't we do that for ourselves? I mean, I'm bad at doing that. I'm trying to do much better at that. But, you know, then you have, you know, a mixed bag of emotions, you could say. Like I have, you know, other female staff that's like, you know, doesn't have the family at home that's really craving to get out. And so it's interesting, which is, it's nice because within my company, we have, you know, it's on a voluntary basis. You can come in if you want. There may not be many people there, but we have, you know, a skeleton crew coming in for different divisions and whatnot. So there is an opportunity. But overall, people have been very, really grateful for this, especially, you know, the mothers I speak to.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got two small children. You know, I appreciate you sharing some of this because I think, you know, so many of the women that we interact with, it's like, you know, we put on the good front, you know, we're on this, we got this. You know, for you, how do you manage kind of the ups and down days? It's like, I think that's what is going to be, what are we all going to look like long term, you know, as the remote work environment and as we get through COVID, is that what was so crazy and unnormal before is now becoming normal. You know, I mean, people are saying it's like they're off their rhythm. It's like they get out. It's like, I know for some people, you know, the people aspect of it is so tough. How do you handle that? I know you got young kids. That's a blessing. You get to see them more. They probably love that mom's at home. But what would you advise to other women, you know, that are really struggling with the whole kind of being at home all the time, you know, with careers and businesses and all of it? I know we talked about self-care, but what else would you recommend for women as they kind of try to get through this, you know, through these times?
Well, right. And so, you know, it's interesting. I started reading the Orange County Business Journal, more like I finally have the hard copy coming to my home, which is nice because I was reading the online version. And what I love about it is it includes fun outdoor activities that I never knew existed. And so, and I bring this up because the best thing for people that are, you know, just needing, you know, to unleash some frustration or whatnot is just try looking at different things that you never looked at before. We all have our patterns. We all do our things, but believe it or not, it's wonderful. For me personally, I love actually holding something in my hands to read as opposed to looking at a screen. It's a different, like, okay, this is a break for me. I get to do that because, you know, I'm just, we're all burnt out looking at a computer or our phones. And so I found some really neat things locally that are happening that that could involve my children, you know, and then it's far. I mean, there's like now a new drive-thru in Orange County, you know, with the screen, right? It looks like a huge computer screen, not like the ones we're used to back in the day, but that's pretty neat. And so they're just trying to find different avenues and different ways to get information on to do something different that can involve your family or can involve, you know, your girlfriends. Everyone out there is feeling just like we are, and they're being really, really creative, but they have more time. Perhaps that's their industry to focus on that. And so it's time to just, you know, everyone needs help. So let's reach out and find different ways in which other people that have the time to focus on this could help us and try to look at different resources for that information. That's worked out really well for me personally, because all I can really talk about is my personal experience on this.
Yeah, I think, isn't that what it's about, right? We all have our own personal experience, which is what I love that you're sharing with our listeners. I mean, I know, you know, I heard a leader say, this was a couple weeks ago, that they said, you know, I think one of the biggest changes, and maybe you already did this, but I'm curious about, you know, how you would share with other women as leaders that, you know, it's never been as important as it is now to truly meet your people where they are, meaning, like one CEO I know that I was talking to said that they just ask the question whenever they see one of their team members, they'll go, how are you today? And I thought, oh, that's so fascinating. Cause it's not how are you, it's how are you today? And he was sharing how much of an impact that was making. And I'm curious with you, it's like, how do you, you know, kind of how do you keep, you know, keep on top of where your team and your people are today, you know, through this remote settings? I mean, do you just have meetings with different departments? And I'm loving when I'm thinking senior executives get on Zoom, because they didn't know what Zoom was before the COVID hit, right? But how do you do that? Meet people where they are. Maybe you have some thoughts to share as insight.
Yeah, you know, and so it's different for everybody and their infrastructure and how it's set up. And, you know, when there's, yes, I went through a whole round of with each of my departments and had to lunch with them. And it's time, and I agreed to want to do this at least once a quarter. There's a lot of meetings right now at this time for fourth quarter. For myself personally, it's just a crazy time. So when you can do it, it's great, but just put it in your calendar and plan it. But, you know, on a daily basis, I'm in constant communication, you know, obviously with my direct reports, and then, you know, reaching out to others and in the company. And for me, I actually personally prefer to pick up the phone instead of emailing now, you know, because it's nice to actually hear somebody's voice and to really check in, how are you? Because anyone can respond through an email, they're great, but you can really hear it in their voice if they're you know, truly great or not. And so that's worked well for me. And I just, you know, I miss picking up the phone and having those conversations. And it's just, in doing that, it just makes me feel a little bit closer, you know, like, oh, okay, I feel like maybe we could be in the same room if we're talking. But emails is creating a bigger divide for me personally. So I do love talking on the phone, and I prefer that absolutely, just as a one-on-one, not, you know, as a conference call. But, you know, to truly talk to somebody, see how they're doing, it has to be intimate, and you have to truly, well, first of all, you have to really care, which I do. And so that comes first, right?
Yeah.
That's the passion of caring about what you do with you, and I love what I do, and I love everyone I work with. They're my second family. So
I think that's great. No, I mean, you know, the honest authenticity, I think, is what has been so, you know, when you see that, I think people really respond well to that, right? It's not like we're in this together and you don't mean it. You're really living it and acting on it. You know, I love what you said too, that isn't it funny how phone calls have become so valuable now, right? Where before we were like, oh no, we need to meet in person, and you know, Zoom doesn't get it done. But I find it refreshing when I can do sometimes just a phone call, because I'm tired of seeing myself on a Zoom meeting. You know, I do. Sometimes we need that, but it's interesting to kind of mix it up a little bit. So that's great. Yeah, emails. You don't really know how somebody's doing when you hear an email, right?
No, and it's like, I know all of us can be exhausted typing that grammatically correct email. It's like, oh, we just pick up the phone. This is such a long email to type out, you know? So you have it for actually wanting to connect and see how somebody's doing, but sometimes it's even great for just, can we just get on the phone? There's just too many emails.
I got a big question for you. This is going to be my wrap-up question, because we're almost out of time. Yeah. And it's like, I'm kind of coming, it's coming out of left field, but you know, I know you are working on your first book, which I have a little inside information on that one. And I know you've got some incredible thought leadership inside you that is just, we're putting together, and hopefully your published book here soon. I'm curious, based on where, just where we are now, you know, society, you know, today we just you know, brought into the White House, you know, the very first female vice president, although I would like to see a female president one day in the White House, but we got our first female vice president. And, you know, as a leader, it's like, what do you think, just based on now, would be one or two little leadership tips that you could give some of our listeners that'll just make them feel like, you know what, I can do this? And I know that's a big question I'm asking you, but I know you have greatness in you and you're working on some really cool ideas with your book. But what would be one or two thoughts or ideas where you can share with women, here's some things to think about? And we'll leave it on a super high inspirational note. No pressure, Jessica. Okay. No pressure at all.
All right. Well, wow. Okay. So
yeah.
Of course, I have several things to think about, but, you know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in our days, so then we don't take a break and we don't take the breather that we need. I think, you know, it's obvious, you know, to others, perhaps more obvious to others than we think it is, that they're seeing what we're feeling, and we think we're good at hiding it, but no, we're not always that great at it. It's just, you're in a safe container in which people aren't going to tell you, because it's saying like self-awareness, that your frequency creates your reality. You know, how do you feel you're showing up? You know, and so if you're smiling, you know, other people are going to feel the smile. If not, they're not. And sometimes maybe just if it's something important you have to go do, maybe take a breather or try to shift it until you're in the right place, because it's going to be as good as the energy that you put into it up front. And you have to not be burned out.
I like
it's just not, you know, when you're burned out, you're not your authentic version of yourself, correct? So it's just important that your frequency creates your reality. So find your passion again, get it going again, take a few days off, be inspired. That would be my advice.
And is that the big
that
thing
I give
for you?
Myself?
Like, what we should...
Well, it starts with me.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, do you practice
my,
what
only
you're saying? Like,
from my experiences, yeah.
Okay. Well, and how do you reset? Like, what are the things? I know you said you like to read and you actually tangibly like to, you know, touch, feel a book or a publication or a newspaper, but what are some things that you do? I mean, I guess the other part is, how do you recognize that, you know? Like, when you start getting stressed out and you're just kind of, you know, on the track that's leading you to overwhelm or burnout, how do you identify it? You know, do you just kind of like say, I need to slow down? Do you have like a regiment? How do you self-correct?
Well, for example, we're going through my budget right now, and when you're dreaming and spreadsheets, then you know you're stressed out.
Oh, I love numbers. Yeah, really.
So
love...
no, it's so sad. It's like when your work is infiltrating your dreams, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even take a time out now. I mean, that's your subconscious alert. You, it's like, okay, it's time to go put something else in your brain. And for me, like being in the wilderness is my ultimate release. I love it. So that's
I think that's good. Kind of know your
triggers,
to
do that.
Right?
Yeah. And then, you know, we all have certain, you know, when we feel stressed, everyone should be, you know, familiar with some of the triggers or some of the responses to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just be on the lookout for that.
Well,
that would
love
be the
that.
Best advice.
Love
that's a big question, and that's like really a surface level answer. But I tried to do the best I could with your last minute question. But I appreciate it.
It is, but you know, we're going to bring you back for round three. So I'm loving that we can keep peeling back the layers on this, you know, leadership and, you know, I didn't want to say turbulent, pivotal, unprecedented times, right? It's like, it's mm-hmm. how people are getting through this that I find it so fascinating and inspiring, you know, because this isn't easy. And it's like, we have good days and bad days. And I think that's what really inspires me, is just to hear what women like you that have such high responsibility, and, you know, we're navigating it the best we can. But I think that authenticity that's coming through with you and how you've done it is amazing. So I'm just going to say, we're not done. So I want to thank you for being our leading lady again today. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You know, we are an international show, super exciting. We have people listening from the UK and Australia now and different countries, which is exciting for us about women and leadership. We will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And to that, I just want to say, you know, we're all going to get through this in COVID times. Be safe, be well, and we will see you again on the next Women Lead Radio show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.